All right. Welcome, everyone, to the Directed IRA podcast with Matt Sorensen and Mark Kohler. We're excited for today's show to update you on what's going on in Washington, D.C., and also answer the questions to better help you take control of your retirement.
Wow. Sounds like an incredible show. I want to listen.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. We got to deliver.
You got a speaking role in the show today.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this sounds really good. Give me a bowl of popcorn, someone. This is great. Man, these guys must be awesome. Well, I will say this. Matt is going to give us this legislative update because he has done a phenomenal job for you people. You're welcome. Matt Sorensen has been working around
and for me, it was self-serving for us too.
That's true.
I mean, I still correct my own account. Of course, we have a business in this. So,
Well, when Congress figured out that Peter Thiel was gaming the system with his huge Roth IRA, it was exciting news, but not a good ripple effect for the rest of us. So, all fall, these last late summer and early fall, Mr. Sorensen and myself, but much more Matt Sorensen, has been on phone calls with legislators and senators and their staff nonstop, trying to make sure there was no crappy provisions in this new bill. And I think he got rid of 90% of them. And I think for most of you, you're not going to be terribly impacted at all with what's in there. But Mr. Sorensen, let's give you the thank you for doing all that hard work and give us an update. Okay. Tell us what's really in the bill and just kind of hit the highlight. Yeah. So maybe say, let's do this. Tell us what's not in the bill first.
Yeah, that's all the good news because what was going to be in the bill was restrictions on IRA LLCs, where you can no longer be the manager. And you also wouldn't be able to invest in private companies or startups or private funds, which is a big piece of what a lot of our clients here like to do with their IRA. They don't want to buy a company once it's already on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. They want to buy the next thing. They want to buy the pre-IPO or the small business down the street. So those provisions are all out. All those provisions that would have affected self-directed investments, IRA LLCs, private companies, got gutted from the bill. That was a huge win. There were people in Congress who got that and listened. And I thought it was interesting, Mark and I, when we started this, one of our first calls was with a congressman and we were explaining what a self-directed IRA was because we had to start every call to explain what the heck it was. And he's like, oh yeah, I know what that is. I bought real estate with my IRA. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And his office was helpful in connecting us to other offices actually.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, we talked to some offices that are like, well, I don't even know that you should be able to do this. People aren't very smart with their money. And it's this very paternalistic, like government knows better. You should just invest in what we tell you to. So there's a big spectrum, of course, as we all know in Congress. But the good news was the self-directed provisions got killed. They did not make it in the final bill that passed the House because that's where we're at right now. The House has passed a real bill on this now. Now it's over to the Senate, who they say they're going to do something before Christmas. We shall see. But that's the current state. We have a passed bill in the House waiting on the Senate to act either on some amendments or changes to it or to pass the thing as is. So that was the good news. Now, there is bad news, though.
Okay.
Here's the bad news. Let me go over the first one.
Okay? Wait, it sounds like a parent saying, and you're grounded.
Yeah. So there's some bad news. The backdoor Roth IRA and the mega backdoor Roth 401k will be closed out starting in 2022. There will be no more backdoor Roth IRA or mega backdoor Roth 401k at any income level. There's been different versions of this that we're going to let you do it if you were under 400, but now it's closed out entirely. No more backdoor Roth IRA, no more mega backdoor Roth 401k. So if you haven't done your 2021 backdoor Roth IRA or mega backdoor Roth 401k, you might want to get on it. Don't wait until April 15th to execute this. It's possible you could still do it and count it in 2021 tax year, but you're not going to be able to convert in time, actually. So you're going to need to act on this now if you want to do a backdoor Roth or mega backdoor Roth 401k for 2021.
And I've got a big tip after our legislative update, which we can debate. So, so anything else that's in there that sucks?
Yes. Two more. Sorry.
Just cutting to the chase, baby.
Okay, here's the next one. Roth conversions for high income earners will be no more. If you make more than $400,000 single, $450,000 married, you will no longer be able to do a Roth conversion.
Meaning, so if you work at a Starbucks as a barista in San Francisco and make more than $400,000, which you've got to have pretty much to survive, you're out.
Yeah. Now, this is, there's some detail on this, on the Roth conversion. So Roth conversions will be no more for high-income earners. However, this does not go into effect until 2032. What? So if you're there, yes, I know, if you're there thinking—
I thought that was old 401k money. Is that regular traditional IRA?
This is all Roth conversions. Every Roth conversion would apply here. IRA, 401k, everything.
What?
Yes, everything. Okay.
That is great news.
Yeah, 32. So it's delayed 2032. Here's why. When Congress budgets this, they have to look at the 10-year window of how this will affect the budget for 10 years. Well, Roth conversions bring in money to the government now. You're converting and paying tax now because you're hoping you're going to save money down the road. Well, when Congress budgets this, if they can set the rule out to not go into effect for 10 years, they don't have to take it into account in the budget. So that's what they did. They kicked this out past 10 years, so it won't go into effect until 2032. What this means is, because I had a lot of clients call me the last couple months, do I need to convert? I should hurry and convert, right? It's like, I don't know. You know, we're waiting to see. So the good news is, no rush. You're going to have 10 years if you want to convert dollars to Roth. If you want to chunk pieces along as you go, you're going to be fine. And then after 2032, it's just going to be the high income earners that are going to be restricted from Roth conversions.
Okay. Now, let me point out on that, and that you, no more update, right? I could go to my tip.
One more. There's one more update.
Okay. Well, let me go to my, because it's on point. Let me, if I may.
Okay. All right.
So that's been the call I've been having with a lot of clients. In fact, I met with some clients last night and I said, based on this bill, you may just want to rip the Band-Aid off and convert all your traditional IRA over to Roth and just get it over with. Tax rates for the wealthy are going to go up by 2-3% in this equation. And if you can't convert to Roth next year, this is your last opportunity. Now, I had a few clients that seeing the first bill.
It won't be though, right?
Because
you
have
until 2032 now.
You have until 2032. Yeah. So we still don't have the final version, but I had some clients. So I was just talking about this with clients last night, and I had some other clients a couple weeks ago just do it. They just converted like $500,000 to Roth. And at first they were like, oh no, this new legislation gives me time. But then they were like, you know what? I'm converting to Roth and I'm buying crypto right now. I want all that crypto in that Roth so I don't convert later when my Roth account's worth 10 times more what it is now. So I would say, here's this tip I was going to get to.
Assuming crypto goes up.
assuming so. But if you're an investor and you expect your traditional IRA to have more than a typical 5 to 10% return, and you're in the highest tax bracket, even if they're giving you till 2032, you might want to do the conversion. Get it over with. Because if you're investing in an aggressive manner, you're going to just have to pay the tax later or convert later at a higher rate.
Yeah.
So
one thing I had, and I had a client I talked to a while ago that said he wishes he converted. And he's like, every year I think, I just made too much money this year. Next year it'll be less. And he's like, I make more money the next year and the next year and the next year. And I'm in a higher tax bracket and I'm such a moron. I should have converted when I first thought about this. You know, it's just
Matt's talking about me. That,
yeah.
That hurts, you know, when you say, did I really say moron when I said that?
I mean, it could have been idiot. I don't know. Fool. I don't know. Well, I feel bad. I mean, that's the reality. And I think that's the hard thing of converting to Roth is it's painful now. It's just, it's always going to be painful the year you do it.
You know,
but 10 years, just think of yourself in 10 years where that account's going to be and you can double or triple the value of it. You're going to be like, gosh, I was so smart.
You know, it's funny you say that too. I just don't have clients coming and going, because we talk about the 10-year plan. You know, I want to hear what my clients' plans are before we structure, look at their entities. I don't have many clients coming and going, my 10-year plan is I want to make less and less money.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So I can convert to Roth then.
Yes. Yes. I want to make less money. That's part of my plan. I'm like, okay. But then they go to their financial advisor that says, oh, traditional is better because you're going to be in a lower tax bracket in the future. That's not my plan. I don't want to be in a lower bracket in the future. I hate that freaking argument. So,
okay. There is one more piece of bad news.
Oh, okay.
Okay. This is doesn't apply to everyone though, but you know, it could apply to you in the future. The cap.
Is this the tax on tanning beds?
No, the tax on
tanning beds. Okay. All right. Cause I was,
woo!
Woo! Crossing my fingers on that one. Okay.
You can go fake Nick all you want.
It's okay. Cool. All right.
I got a life insurance policy on you. I'm good with that.
Yeah, Magda actually encourages me to fly in small planes and go to tanning beds. I don't know why, but
yeah, I mean, you know, there's just a million reasons why. All right, there's a cap. The cap that was in the bill, $10 million. Total retirement accounts per individual cannot exceed $10 million. The cap is in there.
Jeez, how can I be expected to live on $10 million?
I know. Hey, if you got a spouse, you know, your spouse can do $10 million separate. So
that's now here's,
I know. Here's again the mix on that. Now, this is only a small portion of our clients affected by this. So, but you do need to know it. This doesn't take effect until 2028. So they kicked the can down the road on this one too. And if you have to take distributions from Roth accounts before 59 and a half, they are considered qualified, even though they're early. So there's some changes they made to make this a little more palpable, but they are capping accounts now at $10 million.
Qualified meaning you don't pay tax.
Meaning you don't pay tax, right.
Or penalty.
Meaning 50 and I have to take a distribution because I'm over because I'm over 10 million. There's not an early tax.
You know how cool that is, though? Let's say you have a $10 million Roth. You turn 50. Yeah. Dude, this is good news.
It's a strategy. I know.
Yeah, because know. If you've Wait got, let's say, early. Okay, Corey, who's going to be, you know, he's going to be snowboarding pro for Burton. So, okay, so he's got $10 million in his Roth IRA. Okay. And he's like, well, I have to wait till I'm 59 and a half. No, you don't. Because anything you make over $10 million, you just have to take as a tax-free distribution the next year. No penalty. So now you can retire early. But you got $10 million.
Early distributions. Yeah. Yeah, you got to get up to $10 million. But, so that's how it works. And again, there's some bad news here on backdoor Roth's going to be closed out on IRA and 401k. Roth conversions are going to be for high income, but that you got 10 years away to worry about that. And then the cap for those of you approaching $10 million, bless you. If you have that problem to deal with, but that also doesn't take effect till 2028. So that's the summary.
Okay.
Remember the good news, self-directed provisions are all there. So you can stay calm and self-direct on we're not going to be affected.
All right. Well, Matt, thank you for that. Thank you for that update. Good man. Appreciate you. Okay. We are going to go to our questions now. For those of you that would like to submit a question in the future, please go to directedira.com. Go to the learn section and hit the podcast button. And once you're at the podcast page, there's a big button that says submit a question, not too hard. Or you can just go to directedira.com/podcast and you're in the money. All right. We've got a question from, should I just read the question or should I be kind of scanning these to avoid some people's questions? Or can I just.
You should scan to avoid the weird questions that we don't know the answers to.
Okay.
I thought that's what you were doing when I was doing the legislative update.
Well, I just think it cheapens the show.
You know? Oh, you want it to be, you know.
I just want to go raw. Just like read the question. Yeah. If it's a good one or bad one, at least we address it and tell them sorry. Okay, I'm going to try. Okay. Maybe my effort at, you know, improving the show will fail here miserably. But okay, Julia says, let's say I set up an IRA LLC to buy crypto through Coinbase. Fair enough. You can set up a crypto IRA or whatever you want with Gemini, but if you quite quickly without an LLC, but for some of you that want to use cold storage or other institutional accounts, you would have to set up an IRA LLC. So Julia went down this route. Set up a Coinbase account. Then, I want to take that Bitcoin and lend it and make money on that crypto via platforms which pay 2.3% per day on my Bitcoin. In other words, I'm sending my Bitcoin out of Coinbase to another platform. Then once I'm done lending, I bring the Bitcoin and earnings back to my IRA Coinbase account. Is that allowed? Yes. I don't we're going to talk about whether
Coinbase account. Let me say this is your LLC Coinbase account that the LLC is owned by your IRA. Let's be clear on that.
Yeah. Can you do this? Yes. There is a step or two involved, but yes. Now, whether you should, we're going to come back to in a moment. Is this allowed? Yes. The crux of my question is, can I send the IRA Bitcoin out to invest on other platforms or can I hold it in Coinbase? Well, Coinbase may have some methods to help you, but generally you're going to have to take some steps to get that money out of Coinbase and into these other platforms. Fair statement, Matt?
Yeah.
Okay. Will there be
make
some
sure
kind of,
that when you go to these other platforms, that those accounts are in the LLC's name?
Yeah. Not your own name or social. Yeah. And some of you are going to want to cut corners because you're going to go, ooh, I can set up an account at such and such place really fast if I give them my social. No. Got to set up institutional accounts, which can be a pain in the butt.
And I think everyone doing the IRLLC in crypto or, you know, doing these lend opportunities, you are a pioneer. Okay. It is not easy. Mm-mm. And we get all the questions that people are like, oh, they're asking me for this. This platform we've never freaking heard of before. They want this and they're asking me this. And I'm filling out 10 pages of questions. I know it's not easy. Yeah. That's why we have the Gemini product. If you just want to buy crypto,
yeah,
just make it easy. But if you want to do the LLC, you are going to be jumping through some hoops. I just want people to realize that you're pioneering this little strategy and the ability to do some of these creative things.
Yeah. And I've got some clients upset right now that they're like, I've got this charitable remainder trust and I've got to set up some institutional accounts and it's a pain. Welcome to the party. Yeah. It sucks because it's just LLCs and trusts and all that. They're considered institutional accounts. Now here, and she says, can I send out the money into the world, invest it, and bring back the principal and earnings? Julia, it's not that you can't do it. You can. It's how do you do it without going crazy? And also, should you do it? One of the points that Matt's emphasized at the summit that I really liked is, by the way, you can get your recordings of the summit now at sdirahandbook.com, and you can buy all of the recordings, almost 8 hours of content from the summit. You can fast forward through Matt's sections and go straight to mine and just watch them over and over again. Just want to point that out. Okay. Yep. Now, that's sdirahandbook.com, folks. Okay. But what Matt brought up at the summit, which I thought was really wise, is that when you're going out to loan your crypto, realize there's probably not much of a guarantee. Do you have any security? What happens if they don't pay you back? Can you go get your money? Yeah. Who are you going to sue? Some freaking LLC in Belarus? I mean, that's it. I mean,
right. Yeah. This is going to be the next area where we're going to see fraud and losses is in this crypto lending space. Mm-hmm. Even the SEC shut down Coinbase's lend product before they even launched it. All right. BlockFi has been sued. There's like 6 or 7 state regulators that have gone after different lending platforms of crypto, calling them securities. So even with like the name brand places, like let's say Gemini or BlockFi places, you're not lending to Gemini. You know, on Coinbase was Lend that didn't even launch because the SEC shut it down before it started. You're not lending to Coinbase. It's some LLC. They're not going to let their whole business get tied up in this thing. It's some separate LLC. It's unsecured. And these are big institutions behind it typically, but these ones paying 2.3% per day. Sounds too good to be true, Julia. Probably is. There's huge risk in it. So I think a lot of people look at their crypto like it's a bank account and think, oh, I can just push a button and I just like move my money from checking to savings to where it gets no interest and now it gets interest. No. This is not a bank, FDIC insured, doing something super safe with your money. These crypto places are lending it out. And so just be very careful. Realize there is significant risk in those opportunities.
Yeah, totally agree. I'm actually excited, Matt, for you to answer Mick's question.
Yeah,
I don't know the answer. It. Can you do it?
I pre-read that one and I liked it.
You did? Okay. Thank heavens Matt pre-read it and we can live, you know, because heaven forbid.
You know, like, I mean, if it's a Howard Stern show or like any reputable radio show, they screen their callers, you know, screen their callers when they call. Yeah. They have a call screener.
Well, you know what? We're better than that though. we can take on any self-directed IRA question.
It's true. It's pretty. That's
okay. Mick, everybody, right. You're going to love this question. Okay.
All right. He says, I'm looking to fund a Roth self-directed 401k plan via a plan rollover from my traditional self-directed solo K.
Yeah. Whoa. Okay. Jeez. That was a mouthful right there. Can I explain what the freak he's trying to do before you go to part two? Okay.
Yeah.
So now he's going to talk about precious metals and gold, which I think is really cool. But first, everybody, let me read that a little slower. Mick is looking to fund a Roth self-directed solo K. Typically would put self-directed before that. So it'd be self-directed Roth solo 401k. That would be kind of the terms you'd hear in our office.
Yeah.
So so Mick must have a small business, and he's the only employee, and it could be an LLC or an S corp, and he's going to open a solo 401k, which right now we have a special through the end of the month. If anyone would like to set up that solo 401k, get over to directedira.com or kkoslawyers.com directly and say, I need a solo K because I want to fund it before year end and do my match next year. You can do that. And Mick's wanting to do that. He's going to set up a Roth solo 401k and self-direct it. And then he adds in parentheses, I'm going to roll over traditional money from another 401k, maybe from a prior job. And he's going to say, I'm going to take this, this old IRA, and I'm going to roll it into the self-directed solo 401k. Now, if it's traditional, he can do that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if it's traditional, he can roll it in. If it's an old Roth IRA, you can't roll a Roth into a solo 401k. So he must have traditional money from another solo 401k, crappy plan, or an old job, and he's got this traditional IRA, and he's going to roll it in. And we kind of call that supercharging. It's like you set up your solo 401k, and you may not have a lot of money in it. Ooh, I can roll over this old traditional IRA into it and kind of get the engine going. Boom. That's where he's at. What were you going to add to that?
Well, I was just going to say, he says he has money in his traditional self-directed solo K. When he says rollover, I think he just means conversion.
Oh,
he's already got money in conversion too. Okay. So you're just going to convert those dollars, Mick. You're going to need to do it in writing to do a Roth conversion in your solo K. It has to be an election in writing. Even if you're just the trustee and you're not using a company like Directed or someone else, because in a solo K, you can self-trustee it and be on your own, but you got to know what the heck you're doing. So you have to do a written election to convert. And there needs to be a 1099 issued to you for the value of, you know, let's say you have $100,000 of traditional dollars you're converting to Roth. Cool. Go ahead and do that. You'll get a 1099 for $100,000. And then that's going to go on your tax return, of course. But now you can go out and buy the precious metals or whatever you want to go do. And you'd want to, if you're thinking this is going to go up, you're going to want to obviously then, you know, if the precious metals are going to go up, you would then buy the precious metals in the solo K. Under the Roth account, and you could do it directly in the Roth. Now, I want to, 401ks are a little quirky on precious metals. There's a lot of uncertainty on the storage requirement of those. I just want to note that. If you're dealing with an IRA, you can't have personal storage or store the precious metals at your home. Even if you have an IRA LLC, definitely cannot do that. There's a case actually last week where there's a retirement account with an IRA LLC was blown up because they were storing their precious metals at their home. So you want to store it at a trust company or custodian. Solo Ks are a little unique because the rules are a little different between IRAs and solo Ks. But the question Mick asked, though, he asked one other question I just hit, which is, is there dealers you can recommend? The precious metal dealers world is one you got to be careful. I don't know. It's just, there's a lot of commission built into those. So just be careful on what you're shopping for and the price you're paying. Be careful of proof coins or things like that, or really rare coins that have a price way above the spot of price of whatever precious metal you're buying. So just be careful on what you're buying, because there are some operators out there charging significant premiums.
And regrettably, we can't recommend dealers, because it's almost like saying go buy this stock or go buy this crypto. Because if you lost your money, I'd want to sue you too. So if you, but
yeah, you're on your own. That's why it's self-directed. You decide. We're just here to help with the account.
But let me ask this too: is there a need or advantage to create an LLC to do precious metals, or
you don't need to? Not in a solo K, not even in a self-directed IRA. No.
Okay.
Really, I think the LLC is great for real estate.
But you can't.
Sometimes it's good for crypto. But why do you want an LLC for precious metals? You can't store it personally anyways. I don't want you storing it at your house.
Yeah. That's the takeaway. That whether I need an LLC or not, that's not the issue. It's that you can't hold the gold in your 401k or IRA in your house. Just stay away from that. It's too
right.
Good.
The IRS is not loving that. They've put out guidance on it. They've issued warnings on it. And then there was a case literally last week where they blew up someone's IRA with an LLC because he was storing his metals at home. And he's like, well, these are American Eagles. The storage rule is different. They didn't care. Distributed it.
And you're going down a whole path you don't want to go. Because once you're storing gold at your house, now you need guns, safe room, security. I mean, you might even have to get one of those little booths. A booth out by the front, you know, by the path to your house. Armed militia. Yeah, I mean, it's just
Slippery slope.
It's a slippery slope. You know, I would quote Seinfeld on what type of guy I'm not, and I'm not going to go down that. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not going to have carpet.
Okay, Seinfeld David fans. Had a good question, though, on solo caves.
Okay, look at, man, you skipped past that joke real quick. I like that. That was a good Seinfeld, little Seinfeld throwback for some of you. Okay, I'll read David's question. All right. Okay.
Oh, okay.
This is part edutainment, Matt. You know, get on board here. Okay. David says, a movie should be made about
you. You're the tainment.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm okay. I'm loving David's comment already. A movie should be made about you guys. Thank you.
A comedy.
It says a comedy.
It's called like an action movie.
Yeah, more action. Are you thinking more Dumb and Dumber or Talladega Nights or, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith? I could be Brad Pitt and Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and you could be the cool partner, you know, sidekick, you know. All right, I'm just joking. Okay.
I don't know where to go with that one.
Jeez. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. That was a compliment, though, you know. Okay, here's my question.
At least I'm hot and deadly.
Yeah, that's true. When you open a solo 401k, how do you properly contribute to the accounts? Do you deposit a personal check for employee contributions and write a check from your business account for employer contributions? Do you just notify your payroll of what's been done? Thank you. First of all, I'm impressed that you are writing checks. It's kind of a little old school there. I mean, I don't know if you have a record player and playing some vinyl tonight, but, you know. Yeah. Maybe you got a CD player.
I mean, yeah. Maybe CD, maybe some laser discs.
Yeah.
Writing
a check, kind of a new thing. Okay. So
I love it though. This is a great question.
Yeah. Great question. Okay. So everybody go back to what I was talking about with Mick, having a self-directed solo 401k and how do I contribute to the accounts? The first thing I think before you even do the how in the steps is how much you're going to do. You got to make a decision about timing, because if you're going to say, well, I could do 19,500, if you're under age 50 or older, you could do 26,000. The first question is, before you start moving money, how much are you going to do? And say, well, I can afford to do 10,000 this year. That's why I chose a solo 401k, is because I know I can do more than a regular IRA. Okay, cool. So you're going to do $10,000. Well, before you even transfer the money into the 401k, you need to let your payroll company know, because on the W-2 at the end of the year, your payroll has to reflect that you did a $10,000 contribution. Now, if you're a sole proprietorship, the rules are a little different. It's going to go on a different line on your tax return, but there's no payroll involved, so you can cut a few more corners there. But let's just say, and I'd say 90% of our client, well, what do you think? 70% are S-corps? With solos? 60?
Yeah.
70%?
60, 70%? 60,
40. Yeah. So the first thing to do, David, everybody out there, is decide how much am I going to contribute? Now, the company match is a separate step that can happen down the road. You could do both at the same time. You could do the employee contribution now, anytime during the year. You could do the company match up until when you file the tax return next year with extensions. So you've got to figure out how much you're going to put in and then how much you want the company to match. Kind of pencil that out. You want to think about your budget. How much can I do? Then when it's time to contribute, remember that your 401k is going to have a bank account. You're typically going to be the trustee of that bank account, and you're going to just move money from your personal account into the 401k for your contribution. You could do it personally or from the company, as long as it's booked properly as an employee contribution. And then when you do the company match, you're just going to move money from the company into the 401k bank account. If you want to write a check, you could. You can just do an online transfer. Make sure you put in the memo what it's for. But it's really that simple. And I don't know.
I like it.
All right. Matt, would you add to that?
Yeah. I mean, man, Mark, you just gave the long version there. Jeez.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Mark. Yeah, Mark's, you know.
I'm educated.
Mark and I were both lawyers practicing, you know, 100 hours a day, whatever you want to say. But we learned to bill by the hour. So sometimes you ask a question, we can give you a really long answer.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
But David, let me answer your question. Yes. That's what you do. Yes. You write to contribute to the employee comes from your personal bank account. To contribute to the employer, go from the employer bank, the business bank account for your employer contribution. Now, the employee contribution is going on your W-2. Okay. For those that, like Mark said, when you're using an S-Corp, that's going to go on your W-2. So you got to tell your payroll company the employee part. The employer part, your payroll company doesn't care. It's not going on your W-2, but you're tracking it as a retirement plan contribution on the books of your S-Corp because that's going to be a deduction at the company return level. All right. So now again, you could just be, obviously you're transferring money, not doing writing checks, or you could just do it all from the business account to the solo K. And then you just allocate what was the personal part and what was the employer, what was the employee versus employer contribution. Just like when you get your paycheck at a company where you have a 401k, they withhold some on the employee side and then the company pays in some on the employer side. It's the same thing. All right.
That was pretty cool.
That was.
You're watching cool. On YouTube. I just blew my straw paper right at the camera. That was like, 3D. We're moving to a new level.
That was pretty good. All right.
Jordan. I just got a Diet Coke delivered to me in the nick of time before I passed out here.
All sugar, right. He's back.
Yeah.
What's happened my to blood the sugar stars? Was getting low. Did you lose your contract with Rockstar?
No, I only get one Rockstar a day.
Oh,
I already downed it.
Diet Cokes? Does that have caffeine in it too?
Well,
it's different,
but not as much. Yeah. Diet Coke is not as good for you as a Rockstar. It's
got it.
Okay. I really shouldn't be drinking this, but I felt like it.
All right. Okay. Jordan has a question. This is my last one. If you want to, you know, pick one, Mark, but this is a good one. Jordan asked, hey, Eminem, Mark and Matt.
Wow, man. Movie, Eminem. Man, we're rocking it. Okay.
So been a long time listener to both this show and Main Street Business Podcast. My question is on privileged transactions for an IRA. I own 37.5% of an LLC as a silent partner. Okay. I do not work in the operations of the LLC. Okay. Doesn't really matter, but good, important side note. It says, can I sell my entire ownership holdings to my spouse's grandmother's IRA at fair market value? I know I'm a disqualified person to her IRA, but does my ownership of less than 50% allow this transaction?
Ooh,
great question.
Wow. Jordan.
Okay. Now, let's talk about when you talk about privileged transaction rules, whose IRA is involved? Okay.
Hold on. I thought we were going to talk about mother-in-laws and grandma-in-laws. I mean, there's a deep issue here. I don't know.
Yeah.
Even a smart move, but yeah. Okay. Transactions. So who's prohibited in this situation?
All right. Now, Jordan is a disqualified person to his spouse's grandmother's IRA. Because you have to look at whose IRA is transacting here. It's spouse's grandmother's. Now, when you look at the grandmother here, let's call her Myrtle. Okay.
Myrtle.
Like Myrtle.
I guess
Beach?
Myrtle's a guy name. Myrtle is the guy.
Myrtle. Myrtle's grandma. Myrtle.
I bet you there's a couple out there named Merle and Myrtle.
Perhaps. Is this what you're contributing to the answer on this question?
I'm color commentary. All right. Okay.
All right. We'll come back to you in a minute. You think of something smart.
You're the one that brought up Myrtle. I'm like, what the hell?
I was just trying to make the example easier.
All right. Hey, okay. All right.
I mean, her name's Dorothy. Okay. Who cares? All right. It's like, it's my grandma's name. Okay. So, All right. Let's go with Myrtle though. Okay. Myrtle. When we look at her IRA, who's disqualified to her? Well, her children and her grandchildren are disqualified. Also, spouses of her children and grandchildren are disqualified to IRA too.
Jordan.
So she is disqualified. So as you said, Jordan, so her IRA cannot transact with you. Now you bring up the 50% rule. 50% rule doesn't apply here. She's not transacting with the LLC that you only own 37% of. Mm. She's transacting with you, to buy your 37% ownership. So yeah. That would be prohibited. Now, let's say it was different though, Jordan. Let's say you're like, hey, I own 37% of this LLC that owns real estate, and my, you know, Myrtle's IRA wants to come buy the real estate from the LLC, but I don't own 50% or more. It's just some other partner I got that owns the other 62.5%. That could be possible because now she's transacting with the LLC. She's not transacting with you.
I like it. Okay. I had just one follow-up. Is your grandma Myrtle or Dorothy? I didn't get any clarity on that.
It's Myrtle.
I need clarity. So is Myrtle your grandma Myrtle. Or Dorothy?
Dorothy's the other grandma. This is Myrtle.
Okay. You have a Dorothy and a Myrtle. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. That's a bad
Well, hey, Myrtle's a cool name. I'm glad you have Grandma Myrtle. Man, I didn't know that about you. You know, when we're in a partnership, you need to disclose those sorts of things.
Well,
I can't believe we've been partners for, gosh, 10 or 15 years now.
It wasn't on the due diligence questionnaire. It wasn't on there.
Yeah. I finally discovered your grandma's name, Myrtle. That could have been a important it's little
Dorothy.
Fact to know.
It's my grandma's name was Dorothy.
I thought Jordan. You said it was Myrtle. No, <Jordan. laughs> See, I'm totally it confused. Jordan. I don't even know what Jordan's doing here anymore. Okay. Jordan? All right. Let's get him back to work here. Quit screwing around, Matt. Okay. There are a lot of changes in the works with the Build Back Better plan. Oh, well, we already answered Cedric's question. That was our opening statement. Okay. Yeah, so Cedric, we're good there.
We got you.
Listen okay. We got you, Cedric. Go listen to the beginning. Okay.
I think we covered them all.
Huh?
We covered almost every new question, at least. We got some of the ones.
Yeah, so. Cedric was throwing out a lot. Okay. Well, gosh, I think we're done. I mean, all right.
You got to the end of the book and you're like, you're wishing there was another chapter, but there's just not.
Yeah. I would give this final tip, everybody. It's all seriousness. This is an important time of year to be thinking about how much you want to convert to Roth IRAs. In the good old days, you could do some conversions and then recharacterize them by April 15th, kind of like a do-over. You could say, oh, I converted. I don't want to pay the tax. That opportunity is long gone. So this is the time of year, amongst all the other holidays, to say, okay, mm-hmm. I've got some traditional IRA. And I've got a video on YouTube called, if you search chunking IRA or chunking Roth and throw in my name or probably chunking Roth, it'll come right up anyway. But we've kind of found this sweet spot at different tax brackets where you can say, well, I'm going to chunk 20 grand or I might chunk 80 grand or 100 grand and really stay in the same tax bracket before jumping up 6% to 8% or more. And so you really want to kind of look at what's a projection of my taxable income this year. And then look at your portfolio and go, you know what? I got this little crappy IRA over here. Why not convert it now? Just go clean house. You don't have to go tackle $500,000 of an IRA unless you feel so inclined, but you do little pieces. So this is a fun time of year. Just pick and choose.
Yeah. Like we said, it's the most wonderful time of year, the time to do your Roth conversions, get that planning in.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Love
no
that.
More. I won't sing anymore. Okay. Well,
not bad.
Did I hit it? I hit it. I'm, I have perfect pitch. So,
I mean, it was good enough for a podcaster, but thanks everyone.
Yes.
For all the questions. Remember, get over to directdiary.com/podcast. If you want to submit a question for any topics you want us to cover on this show. We loved all the questions that came in today. I thought they were all great questions, by the way. So good job to you guys too.
Yeah. Hats off.
Yeah.
Tip of the hat. Yeah. Gosh, love it. Okay. We'll see everybody next week for another episode of the Self-Directed IRA podcast and continue. What did you say? Self-direct on.
Yeah. Stay calm and self-direct on.
See you next week.